Good evening, welcome to another edition of the Gelsnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast by fans for fans, where all the content is absolutely free, coming to you in association with Forest Precision Engineering. I'm your host tonight, Brian Archer, and as always, we'd encourage you to get on the Gelsnet website and check out our forums for all your latest Rangers news and discussion. We're live tonight on the YouTube channel, and we'd ask that you continue to share the pod on social media, spread the word, and please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Before I introduce my guests for tonight, I need to give another mention to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for a number of years, and we're delighted to have them supporting the pod. If you want more information about them, please visit their website at www.forestprecisioneng.com. They also have a stunning executive lounge in the Ibrox main stand, and for more information on that, email the club at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Right, now to bring my guest, joining me tonight is Chris Jack. Chris, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Brian, not bad at all. Sitting here doing the pod and watching the Masters at the same time, it looks like it will go down the stretch and get very tight towards the end, unlike the Premiership title race, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll get into that, but also joining us tonight is Grant. Grant, how's things?
Good, mate. Good as I could be after watching that today. I'm starting to think I'm a jinx, by the way. I've not been on here a good few times when we've not won, so Frank will be considering removing me soon, I think.
No, I feel like I seem to always get the ones after the defeats, but I suppose that's just how it goes, unfortunately. Obviously, we're here to talk about the game that was. Rangers going down 3-2 to Ross County. Chris, before we get into talking about the game, if we must, first thing I wanted your take on was the starting 11. For the second week in a row, there was a fair bit of questioning raised about the manager's starting 11, particularly his decision around Barisic coming in at left back and Matondo not starting. Did you feel that he picked the wrong team today?
I think Matondo was the one for me. We usually do predicted 11s on the website ahead of every game, and actually got 10 out of 11 correct today. I think Matondo was the one for me. I had Matondo in ahead of Fabio Silva. I thought Matondo the last couple of weeks, he's impacted off the bench. He's earned that place, he's earned that spot. Barisic, I don't think, is a massive, massive surprise. The manager said last week that Ridvan wasn't a long-term thing and he could be back for this one. He's obviously not, so time will tell if he's back for Wednesday night or not. Really need him back for the game next weekend. Obviously, he takes on huge significance now, given the state of the title race. So Ridvan, for me, is the number one left-back in the squad now. He's been really, really impressive in that role. The team's just not the same with Barisic in there. His form has almost gone off a cliff over these last couple of months. He looks like a guy who knows he's in the final weeks of his Rangers career, who knows it's coming to an end. Unfortunately, it may not come to a great end. So I didn't think that there was that many issues in the side. I could understand the thinking behind the 11. There should have been enough quality, and there was enough quality within that side for Rangers to go and win the game against bottom of the table, or close to bottom of the table, Ross County. Relegation battling Ross County. If you're a Rangers side going for a title and that side's on the pitch, you should be good enough to go and win the game. So I think that the manager will take his share of the criticism for it. People will be able to pick holes in the players that he picked. Ultimately, I think he was quite right to have enough faith in those 11 to say, go and beat Ross County and cut the gap at the top of the table. I think the players have to carry more of the can for what unfolded.
Yeah, and as Chris said, I've got to agree with him. You know, regardless of the questions we might have had over the starting 11, there was enough quality in that team to go and beat this Ross County team. But yet again, second week in a row, we start slowly. We're lucky not to be behind inside the first minute. The Ross County squander a really good opportunity. This seems to be a real issue now. We're starting games poorly, giving away chances early on. Is that a sign of a team that's unable to handle the pressure?
Well, yeah, as you said, we could have been 1-0 down after 60 seconds if the boy could have finished that at the back post. But yeah, we were just, the first 10, 15 minutes, we're so disjointed, passing the ball in the middle of the park, then losing it, and then they're on the attack. And every time they went forward, they looked like they were going to score. It was just, got the ball out wide, getting it in. They created so many chances, and we just looked totally devoid of ideas. It's become a habit, starting slowly in the last few weeks. The first half performances have been really, really poor. We gave them so much space down the right-hand side, time and time again. Simon Murray and Josh Sims, or John Sims, pulled out wide, and they were getting the ball. They had so much space to run into. People no tracking. But there was just something not right at all. Going back to the team selection, I was quite happy with it. You saw Dowell in there with Cantwell. I thought, right, it's quite attacking. But I don't know, part, they just ran through us and played the ball through us. They had so much space, so much time, and I couldn't put my finger on it at all. I thought Clement's watching this. He's got to change us at half time. We've been so poor. We were lucky to get the goal. It was a corner comes in and the boy knocks in for an OG. But other than that, we didn't really have any other chances. Seymour's header, which was kind of lucky, looked one, but we didn't create it. We looked as if we were waiting for something to happen and not actually doing anything about it. It was really, really poor.
Yeah, Chris, Grant mentioned the goal there. It was more through luck than any of our own good play. But I actually felt that we did have a number of decent chances to extend the lead. I think Goldson has a good chance before we score. He has a free head on the box, which he doesn't do anywhere near good enough with. And Cantwell has a chance, which to be fair is a good save from the county goalkeeper. And then Dessers has another kind of point-blank range straight to the goalkeeper. He should be scoring that a wee. We're seeing this now, this kind of wastefulness in front of goal recently for me. We don't take anywhere near enough of our chances. And when you give up chances at the rate we do, it's a recipe for disaster. Are we paying the price right now for not bringing in a clinical finisher in January?
I think we've paid the price for that almost throughout the entire season. We've not had that guy that you can almost rely on to go and put the ball in the back of the net on a regular basis. When you get to this stage of the season, if you get yourself in that position, somewhat fortuitously, because Rangers didn't start the game well, they get themselves a goal up. The second one probably kills it. At 2-0, it's really, really difficult to see Ross County come back into it. And you'd have to imagine Rangers then manage the game from that stage. The second goal doesn't come, and obviously what happens then happens. And as you say, Brian, Rangers pay the price for not being able to kill teams off. And that's not just in the last couple of weeks or the last couple of months. That's seasons upon season upon season where that's been the case. Going into these games, not being able to put teams away. And you almost have the feeling of, well, there's going to be a sting in the tail. I don't think we expected it to be quite as bad as it was, and for County to turn it around in the way they did. But they got their chances. They took them. Rangers got their chances. They didn't. To go away to a side in that position in the league, given what's at stake for Rangers, and your two goals come from an own goal and a penalty, tells you a lot about how Rangers operated from middle to front. Nowhere near good enough, nowhere near clinical enough. But I think that's been the case throughout the whole season. We know that Dessers is never going to score the level of goal required to be a mainstay as a Rangers number nine. Danilo has clearly been a huge loss, but we don't know if he has a. We still don't know if he's a potential 25 goal a season man or not. We think he might be, he could be, but we don't know. Roof, we think he is, but you can't get the minutes out of him. Silva, I think we've seen enough now to suggest technically very good. Can be an effective player at times. Doesn't have that level of goal in him either. So Rangers were relying on a number of guys chipping in. We needed more from Cantwell. We needed a couple from Diomande. Dav Austin to chip in with his. You mentioned Goldson there. Think the number of headers that Goldson's had over the last few weeks. European game, Celtic game, the two that stands out. Chance again today. If you don't have a recognised regular source of goals as your number nine, you need a number of people to chip in round about that. Unfortunately, Rangers just haven't had enough in the last few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Even when we get ourselves in front, Chris, we still gift County far too many chances to equalise in that first half. We seem to lack the ability just now to control games. This goes back a good few weeks, even against Hibs the other week at Ibrox. I felt there was no control in the middle of the park. When we play just now, it's too much like games of basketball where it's one side to the other. We just don't seem to be able to control that middle of the park at all.
And when you don't control the middle of the pitch, it's also going to cause you problems when the defence has as many holes in it as it does at present. You're basically shooting yourself in the foot. I don't know which one of the three goals was was the worst to concede. You can pick holes in all of them. All three of them are just nowhere near acceptable for a Rangers side, and a Rangers side that's at this stage of the season, in the situation that they're in, nowhere near good enough. But as you say, I think a lot of it stems from, as Grant said earlier on, County just playing through Rangers at will far, far too easily. You would think you almost get away with it against some of the worst sides in the league. You know you're not going to get away with it at European level. You know you're not going to get away with it against Celtic. Clearly haven't learned the lessons from No Firm game last week. And if Rangers thought they would get away with it, well, I say what unfolded certainly proved otherwise. Far too easy to play through, far too easy to break down. And I say fair play to County, got their chances and they took them, but they should never have been in a number of those positions. This is just a really, really poor day at the office all round for Rangers.
Yeah, definitely. Before we go on to talk about the second half, let me give a shout out to our friends over at Football Prizes. We're currently running a competition to win a signed 1972 Rangers shirt signed by the Champions squad. For more information on how to enter, please visit footballprizes.co.uk/product/Barcelona-Bears. Now, Grant, we're at half time. I think most of us were of the view that despite going ahead in the first half, that was nowhere near good enough. Were you surprised or were you expecting to see subs at half time?
Yeah, I was definitely expecting him to change at least one. He's done it time and time again the last few weeks, did it last week as well, and it's worked for us. So I was surprised when he came out and there was no subs, especially after that performance. But then again, I thought there's no way we can come back out and be that bad at the back. The warning signs were there. Ross County were pushing forward, and they could have scored two or three in the first half as well. They had so many chances. They had so many chances. Butler made a good save. So yeah, surprised that he didn't change at half time. And then the first 5 minutes, the second half, what a calamity. The first one after a couple of minutes, and then again a couple of minutes after, to concede two goals straight after that was just awful, really bad. Again, just balls down the side and across the box, and they put them away. But yeah, really poor for start to second half, and the backs are up against the wall. And then he makes a sub. He made the two subs, brings on Matondo. Chris mentioned earlier on about he could have started Matondo. The problem with Matondo is when he starts, he doesn't really do anything. But when he comes off the bench, he seems to make an impact. So when he came up, when he was coming on, I thought, well, good, he maybe make an impact, a bit of pace in the flanks, but he didn't really do much when he came on. So I don't know what went wrong. We just looked totally disjointed. And again, the warning signs were there. They had a couple of chances again in the second half, and just not good enough. Simple as that.
Yeah, Chris, Grant spoken about the two goals that we conceded early on in the second half. For me, it was a complete and utter shambles defensively. I mean, you can't be expecting to pick up trophies defending that way. And to be honest, it's been like that in recent weeks. I felt in the last, 3 months that when we concede goals, it's always down to our poor play. It always feels like teams never score a worldie against us. It's always us giving up possession in poor areas of the pitch, or not tracking runners, or just not doing the basics.
As I said earlier on, I think all three goals just so preventable. And I don't know which one was the one that upset me the most, because it's similar mistakes from same players. Squads speak about, oh, we'll look at it and we'll learn our lessons and we'll come back from it. And all the cliches and all the lines that we hear, clearly not learning from making the same mistakes, because it's not just a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It's seasons that these mistakes have been made for. And I think that's what makes it all the more galling for the fans, because they almost know that these players, or that back four, or this team in general, do have these mistakes in them. A side like Ross County, and their position in the league, they should not be able to play through Rangers with that much ease. To lose the first goal straight after half-time, as Grant said, it's a huge setback. But you then can't compound that by then conceding another one just a couple of minutes later. That's not just bad defending, that's weak mentality as well. You know that County are going to come at you again. You have to ride that storm. You have to get through the next couple of minutes, reset yourself, and then build yourself back into the game. you can't be shipping two goals in the space of a couple of minutes to Ross County when they're going for a championship. It's just not on. The third one obviously kills it at that stage, even though the penalty then comes. I think the chances of a fight back and the chances of something dramatic happening were way, way off. So as I said, the third one kills it, but the first two, so soon after Clermont, as I said, post-match, warned them, told them to up the tempo, told them that it hadn't been good enough. Clearly didn't listen, clearly the message didn't get it through.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. Now, Gareth, for me, two of the main culprits in defensive calamity, not just in this game, but for me in recent weeks, they always seem to be at the scene of the crime when we're conceding, you know, ridiculous goals, frankly, is both Souter and Goldson. And for me, they've both been culpable in recent weeks for kind of goals that we've shipped. For me, this partnership doesn't work. I feel like we looked at our most solid when Balogun was playing alongside one of them. Is it, for you, is it time to break this partnership up?
Yeah, you know, I've tried to no got on Goldson's back, but he's been really poor the last few weeks. I don't think him and Souter work together either. Souter's got a mistake in him as well. And there's no coincidence we were solid when Goldson and Balogun were there. I think Balogun's a good player at the back. I think Tavernier's combo as well, Burns, with you. He gets caught time and time again. Last week at Ibrox against Celtic for the first one, he's posted missing, and teams are recognising that and using that space. We saw it with Murray and Sims. So I think he's culpable as well. The right-hand side, him and Goldson down there, they seem to get caught and cost us an awful lot of goals. So maybe it's time to bring Balogun back in and try and steady it a bit at the back. I don't think it's working at all. No, we need to try something differently, change it, or a change of formation or something. I don't know what we do, but that's now what the last six league games we've conceded a goal. It's not good enough.
It felt like when Clermont first came in, Chris, that he made us more solid at the back. When he first arrived, I think there was a definite improvement in defence, but we seem to have gone back the way now.
The last few weeks, it's not been good. Now, to lose three against Celtic at Ibrox, you then follow that with another three against Ross County this afternoon, that's not title winning form. Now, they say that championships are won on the strength of your defence. When you have the best goalkeeper in the league, that should count for a lot, and it does count for a lot. But when Butland is exposed by those in front of him as regularly, and they're making same mistakes and allowing teams to play through them as much, there's only so much Butland can do. And I think Rangers were lucky. He did make a couple of good saves. County missed a couple of chances. So it wasn't three freak goals for County. It was three out of a number of chances that they created, and it stems from, I think, that centre-back partnership. I know there's been a lot of discussion about goals in the last few weeks. For me, he's not looked that steady or that comfortable since the Aberdeen game up at Pittodrie, and caught with that long ball over the top. For some reason, that really seems to have spooked him. I think Old Firm game, it was way, way, way off it. Passing and distribution that day was dreadful. That's before you then get to mistakes, and honestly, slightly unfortunate the penalty, but still goes against him. I think he's just looked, he looks shaky. He looks as if time is catching up with him a wee bit. Doesn't look as strong, doesn't look as quick. So I think there's Goldson for me is one of the interesting ones coming the summer. Does the manager make a big decision and try and move him on? Or do you say he's an experienced guy, he knows the club, 300-odd appearances, big figure in the dressing room, knows the club, knows the game. Do you say that's enough to keep him, that's enough to still have him in the squad? Or do you say there's too many mistakes, there's too much collateral damage there, it's time to move him on? I think you can rhyme off a number of guys that will be allowed to move on. Obviously, most out-of-contract guys, a couple of in-contract guys, you would say, look, they can probably be dispensed with. For me, I think Goldson is probably one of the bigger conversations that has to be had. What we do in the next couple of weeks, I think the clamour for Balogun to come back will grow. Interesting to see what the manager does on Wednesday night. Does he give Goldson and John Souter the chance to play through it, the chance to potentially get a clean sheet and a win under their belt? Or does he say, I just can't take the risk, need to try something different and bring Balogun back in. But again, it's a big call. Is it Goldson that drops out, or is it Souter that drops out?
Yeah, I think those questions being asked about Goldson and will be asked about a number of players in terms of the Rangers' future going into this summer. Now, Grant, things obviously only got worse when County scored their third goal. For me, the galling thing was we never really looked threatening in the second half. We never looked as if we believed that we could get back into this game at 2-1 or 3-1. Even the late penalty, you know, okay, we score it. But when I don't think these players seem to believe that we could even rescue a point here. Now, I don't know what you think, but for me, we've not played well for a number of weeks now, and it's felt that this performance has been coming, to be honest, for a long time.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Yeah, it's been poor. It's not as you said off air. We've not been great for good since the international break. Since we came back international break, I think since we got beat off Benfica, it's been poor. We've been poor. We've kind of dropped off back and up top, especially at the back. And it just, I don't know. We made 17 corners today. We hardly did Edinburgh. Yeah, we scored the OG, but 17 corners didn't look threatening at all. I don't know. We just seem to get the ball out wide, fire it in. Comes back out, we recycle it, do the same thing again. There was no guile, there's no inventiveness. There's just nothing there. And we had loads of guys on the park that can score goals and make things happen. But nah, we ran out of ideas. And even when we got the penalty, I thought I don't see us scoring a third, and I think the players thought the same as well.
Yeah, it certainly looked that way to me. There wasn't really a lot of belief in that team that we could go and get a third to even get a point out of the game. Now, Chris, post-match, there's been a lot of talk about on social media and online about the old guard or the leadership group in terms of Goldson, Tav, Lundstrom and Barisic in terms of their Rangers' future. Now, obviously, Barisic and Lundstrom are out of contract, so that might take care of itself, we'll see. But was today potentially a watershed moment for their Rangers' career? And was it one failure too many?
I don't know if it can be classed as a watershed, because I think we've been in this situation so often with them. Now these guys have, yes, they've given the club some great times, some good service, played in some big games, won some big games. They'll be fondly remembered for 55 and for Seville and Old Firm wins and that type of thing. But the flip side of them is heavy Old Firm defeats. It's not winning enough silverware. And games like today almost sum up the everything that's bad about these guys in terms of their Rangers careers, their Rangers legacy. Afternoons like this almost sum it up. It's games that should be won where familiar mistakes are made, and games that should be won aren't won. So I think Barisic, it's fairly obvious he will be moving on. I think he looks like a guy that knows he's in the final. He's in the final weeks of his Rangers career, so I think he'll move on. Lundstrom, by all accounts, they're still keen to tie down, and asked the manager that at a press conference a couple of weeks ago, and he said there's something along the lines of there's a lot of love in the room, but a lot of love between both parties, something like that. So I think that probably will still happen. Tav, I'd be surprised if he's moved on at this stage. Goldson, I think, as I said, I think he's the interesting one out of the more established ones. I think we all know there will be another big recycling of the squad. We're only a few months on from rebuild and all the rest of it under Michael Beale. Clement could easily ship out a dozen and bring in a dozen if the finance is there and if he wants to. And I don't think people would be that upset if those numbers were hit in terms of recycling the squad. So I think there will be a big movement once again. I think that's it. Barisic will go. Lundstrom, I think, will stay. Tav, I think, will stay. Goldson, for me, is the interesting one.
Dan, what's your take on the kind of more established senior players? Is it time to move some of these on now? Are they kind of been here a bit too long now, starting to feel a bit stale?
Yeah, Chris nailed it. I mean, Goldson, he just looks as if he's lost a yard of pace, lost confidence. Tavernier as well. Interesting to say that Chris said that Tav wouldn't move on. There's obviously been a bit of speculation about Saudi. If the money came in, honestly, I would take it. He's what, 33, 34 now? I would take the money and move him on and try to put the money into the team. But Chris talks about a rebuild in the summer. If we don't get the Champions League money, how are we going to finance that? And we've only got a couple of saleable assets in Butland and Redfern. where's the money coming from to get, bring in these 12 guys? I know we'll obviously ship guys out and get them off the wage bill, but Champions League money was massive this year. Winning the league was massive to get this Champions League money, and looks like our rivals are going to get that money and going to fall further behind. So yeah, a rebuild, yeah, we do need to ship these guys out and replace them, but costs a lot of money.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest frustrations. I felt winning the league this season was crucial because of that extra Champions League money that you get for the new format. For you, Chris, have we now left ourselves too big a mountain to climb in terms of that league title challenge?
I don't think you can say never. I don't think you can say no. You can't say that it's done. I think after that, you can definitely say it's more unlikely. It's highly unlikely. The Parkhead game has taken on different complexions over the last few weeks. It's now become one that Rangers will have to win. They've given themselves no margin for error now. It has to be 3 points from every single game, including the Old Firm game. Anything less than that, don't win the league. So I think they've put themselves in a really, really difficult position, not just today, but the Old Firm game last weekend was a big chance that it didn't take. Motherwell game a couple of weeks ago just smacked off a side that thought, oh, we're on a roll, we're going to turn up and we'll win. Similar vibes to the County game, we'll be fine, we'll turn up, we'll win, we'll get through it. League titles aren't won with that mentality. League titles aren't won that easily. So they put themselves in a really, really difficult position. I don't think you can say no, we won't win the league. But I say it has become a whole lot tougher now.
Yeah, Grant, as doom and gloom as we all are now after today's result, is it important to remember that as unlikely as it seems that it is still in our own hands? We have seen Rangers teams in the past be further behind with less games to go and still go on and win the league from that position. So, you know, all is not lost.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that after today. But, you know, it's a miracle we're still in the title race, to be honest, because when Bill gets sacked, we're, what, 7-8 points behind Clement came in. He's worked miracles with what he had at his disposal. I just feel it's... I know we can still win all our games and win the league, but it's a tough, tough ask. I don't even trust these set of players to go and win 6 out of 6 and go to Parkhead and get a win. When was the last time we did that? Celtic looked strong. I don't know, it feels like the last two games, the Celtic game and today, has just knocked the stuffing right out of us. Go and win the Old Firm game and you're five, or potentially five clear, it's a different complexion totally. Then what a difference a week makes, eh? We're now need to go to Dundee midweek and win to go a point behind when we're meant to be going top of the league. So just swings like that so quickly. For me, yeah, it's not finished, but it's an uphill task.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, Grant mentioned the Dundee game there, so give a quick kind of preview of that before we finish up. First of all, I guess we need to ask, I know you're not a weatherman, but what do you reckon the chances are of this game actually going ahead finally?
I don't think I've ever spoken as much about a pitch as I have done over the last week or so, and over the last couple of weeks or so. It's obviously dominated the agenda, dominated the manager's presser of our day there. Dominated everybody's thoughts on Wednesday. Thankfully, they hadn't left the house yet. As soon as the second inspection got called, I think it was obvious what way it was heading. So I hadn't set off for Dundee. I may well be setting off for Dundee on Wednesday, or we could be going to Perth, or who knows where we're heading. Hopefully, it will be played at least. Obviously, NSPFL said the other day there. There's this contingency plan in place. They will make a call on it on Tuesday afternoon. So by lunchtime Tuesday, Rangers will know at what venue they're playing. At least they do know that there will be a game somewhere on Wednesday. As Grant outlined there, now this was a chance for momentum to kick on for another 3 points on the board to really strengthen our hand in terms of the title race. It's now become one where if you slip up, then it is officially, not officially done, but I think everybody at that stage would then almost kill off any faint hopes of a title challenge now. So it's hopefully it's going to get played on a surface that's conducive to some kind of football. because the pitch up there also the last couple of weeks has had not been amazed in the Motherwell game. They got the go ahead last weekend. Fit was that Park was in no fit state for it. So no surprise that it didn't pass the inspection on Wednesday. And overall, it's just been a bit of a farce. Now, as the manager said, a couple of times last week, it paints Scottish football in a really, really poor light. It paints Dundee in a really poor light. And also after they then get into the top six with a point at Pittodrie, we've got all this to come over the next couple of weeks because there's every chance we'll have to go back there post-split.
Yeah, I know that Dundee pitch has been spoken about all week, and we all kind of know the problems with it, and we all kind of know why there's so many problems with it and the lack of investment in it. But would you be in favour of potential rule change or new rules being introduced for minimum pitch standards, maybe potentially something like they do in the Netherlands, where I think clubs in Europe contribute to a central fund for kind of old clubs to use for pitch maintenance? Would you be in favour of something like that, or is this for you, is this Dundee's problem that they need to rectify?
So it's funny you mentioned that. Gordon Duncan mentioned this during the week on Super Scoreboard, and he said that the clubs have voted in this and they all voted or rejected the proposal to do that. So I think they've had the chance to do that, but they've obviously not taken it. With regards to the pitch, they've had four or five games called off this year. It's just not acceptable. And when you look at Tandykes across the road, it's an absolute bowling green. And you've got the Dundee Fire Service playing as well during the week up there. It's just not acceptable. I mean, they've got to change the rules and bring in some sort of punishment for teams if they do this constantly. And I'm sure it happened down south. It was at Coventry a couple of years ago. Either get fined or something. That they've got to bring something in so this doesn't happen. It's just, this is your flagship league, and it's one Sky Sports, and it's just been handled so badly. And they should have had a contingency plan last week and shifted the game somewhere then. It's just a farce. But the thing is, it doesn't matter when the game gets played now, because the split's now been determined, so it's not going to be as, I don't know, high up the priority ladder for the SPFL to get the game ahead. So it might even be, I mean, if it doesn't go ahead, well, Chris saying it will go ahead somewhere, but it's been an absolute shambles. It really has. It's not helped, obviously, our preparations as well for this week, and staying in the hotel up in St Andrews, no training, that kind of thing. So it's not helped us either. And I know Phil Clement mentioned that in his press conference today.
Chris, for you, is off the back of this whole pitch fiasco, is a rule change needed or some new rules need to be introduced to kind of stop this happening in the future?
I think we need to see what punishment the SPFL hand down to Dundee. They said in a statement the other day there, an investigation and a disciplinary case had been opened. If it's a small fine and a slap on the wrist or a suspended fine, something like that, I don't think that sends a strong enough message. We have seen games, that this is not the first game in Scottish football ever to be called off because of the weather. But it's the sustained nature of the problems on that pitch. It's the number of games that have been called off. That's the big issue here. That's why I think Rangers are as angry about it. That's why the SPFL have to send a strong signal to clubs that you can't allow your pitch to get in this condition. Sure, Ketterwell, I thought, spoke really well about it after the Motherwell games. There's money that should be put on the park that's been put into the playing squad. He's had to make also different decisions because Motherwell have approached their budgets in a different way. So I think that the SPFL really need to be strong on this. They have to say it's completely unacceptable and there has to be a proper punishment in place for Dundee. It's not a case of there's been a freak weather system and there's been snow or ice or a deluge of rain that has just caused a single issue. This has been going on through the whole season, and Dundee shouldn't be given the opportunity to actually have this game again. As soon as it got called off last week, the contingency plan should have been put in place there. Rangers offered to play the game on Thursday. Rangers went to the SPFL with a number of proposals round about it. The situation should have been taken out of Dundee's hands. They said, you're not getting another chance to put this game on. What do they do if it gets passed on Tuesday afternoon and it's fine and it rains on Wednesday afternoon? What world of issues do we then find ourselves in? And as Grant said, it's not impacting the splits. It's not quite as pressing, but it could have been. So I think that the whole thing should have been taken out of Dundee's hands. SPF Elsha showing greater leadership, put the game either on Thursday at a different venue or just rearrange it this week at a different venue. And I said the punishment then handed down to Dundee, it has to be a big enough deterrent for clubs not to run the risk and not to find themselves in this situation.
Yeah, given how we performed today on what was considered to be a good standard of pitch, if this game does go ahead at Dens Park, it'll be a huge improvement in performance, won't it?
Oh, definitely. After today, definitely. I'll hopefully get to see some changes as well in the team. I'd like to see Sterling back in the middle of the park. He seems to give you legs, drive, he tracks, he tackles. He's a powerhouse in there. I'd like to see him back in there. Maybe for Dowell. Dowell didn't really provide anything at all today. I thought Cantwell was actually pretty good today. Put the ball in well and he was using it well. But yeah, I think Silva as well. Silva's got nice touches. He's obviously a good footballer, but he's ineffective. And I don't know, maybe a case of putting Seema back out left again. Maybe bringing McCausland back in. I don't know. We need to change something and try and stiffen up the back. Hopefully bring Balligan back in for Suter or Goldson. I wouldn't mind either of them getting taken out now. But you'd like to think we can be as bad as we were today. Mind you're playing in the Cowfield, so yeah, we'll just need to wait and see. But yeah, hopefully some changes, a better performance and get the 3 points and go one behind, and then we'll see what happens the next 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, and just now, even if the pitch is past as playable, we know it's probably not going to be a bowling green, shall we say. Do you think that might impact the manager's decision in terms of team selection?
A bowling green, it will certainly not be, Brian. It's good. Who knows what condition that pitch will be in. I think it's not going to be a classic. It's not going to be conducive to a pressing, passing style of football. But it's going to be one of these nights. It's roll your sleeves up type stuff. As Grant said, I'd like to see Sterling come into the middle of the pitch. I don't think it's going to be a night for ball players as such, so I wouldn't be surprised if Silva comes out as well. So I think the manager does have big decisions to make, not just because of the conditions underfoot, not just because of what Dundee will bring to the game. On the back of such a woeful performance today, coming on the Old Firm first 45 was the worst 45 of his tenure so far. He's followed that up with the worst 90 so far, so he has to find ways to change it. The easiest way, of course, is personnel. Won't have a lot of time on the training ground. The boys have been on Monday, I'm assuming, for a recovery session. That then just leaves you Tuesday prep, Wednesday game. So there's not a lot of time to do anything major. It'll be a quick analysis of what's been done, a quick analysis again of Dundee. They'll be well versed in Dundee analysis by now, give it a thought. So I think any changes are going to be personnel wise. And I think it'll be quite telling how the manager approaches it. Now, does he punish players, if you like, for being so poor over this 90 minutes and previously, or does he stick with most of the tried and trusted and try and give them a way to play themselves back into form and try and get the fans on side? But it's going to take something quite special now to get the fans back on side, because you look at the reaction after it. A lot of people not quite giving up, but a lot of people now very, very despondent over the title chances. So Wednesday night, it's must win, but it's a performance is needed as well as a result.
Yeah, I think regardless of that, the state of that pitch, much improved performance is needed. Right, I think we'll call it time there. All that's left for me to do is thank my guest, Grant. Thanks as always.
Cheers, guys.
Chris, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem at all.
As well as being live tonight, the show will be available on all podcasting platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Acast and Stitcher. We'll be back on Friday evening. It'll be myself and Alex. We'll hopefully get to review the match at Dens Park. Until next time, bye for now.